The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Well, we're going to begin reading in verse 1 as we've done these last several weeks. We'll read right down to verse number 16. I'm actually going to preach on verses 15 and 16 this morning. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, if you'll please join me, read these next two verses out loud with me. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And then we'll have a word of prayer, but you remember, as Moses went to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, that in the previous chapter, it spoke of boundaries, and that's really was the theme of this series of messages, that the blessings of God are always found within the boundaries of God, and that God's boundaries are always for our benefit. And if we'll learn to live within those boundaries, we'll have a liberty and a freedom and an abundant life that Jesus Christ wants us to have. Now let's pray. Father, we ask and pray your blessing upon the message this morning, that you would speak to our hearts in a very real and powerful way, in a very personal way. Draw each of us, again, Lord, closer to you. Help us to see these truths and make application to our lives. And truly, Lord, if there be one here today that is without Christ, I pray for the salvation of their soul, that they would realize that without Jesus there is no hope, but in him is eternal life, the forgiveness of sin. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you can be seated. So we looked at these two commandments, thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not bear false witness. Stealing and lying. Really, it's dishonesty that has become epidemic. Some of you that are a little bit older than me can probably remember the day in which I remember a farmer over in the Catskills telling me this when I was a young boy. And even then, the dishonesty and the stealing was becoming really out of control in our culture. But he reminded us once when we were staying there that they never locked their houses. They never locked their cars. They just didn't have to worry about it. But that's all changed today. Alarm systems and security is big business. And personally, my wife and I, our house was broken into and robbed twice where we live. And we have an alarm system now, just because we're out in the country, and two times. And it's very disturbing when somebody breaks into your house and they call the fella. And back to... He was robbing homes all through the area, from Pittsfield up to Shaftesbury. And they ended up catching him. But it's just epidemic. And I decided to preach on both of these because so often lying and stealing go together. Yeah. They're, they're partners. And I wanted to just kind of think of it in that respect. The other night, we went out to dinner, and we went to the mall, and I needed a new pair of casual shoes, so we went to the shoe store at the mall, and I'm looking around, and the salesman came, and he asked if he could help, and I said, sure, and so I told him what shoes I was looking for. I pretty much buy the same pair of casual shoes every year, because I like them. My kids, they said, Dad, why don't you buy some other different kind of pair of shoe? And I did 2 years ago, and it messed up my feet, so I didn't take it in place. I got rid of them. So, anyhow, he brings the shoe out, or brings the box out, I tell him what size I am, and he opens up the box, and there's only one shoe in the box. So there's only one shoe in the box. He says, yeah, there's only one shoe in all the boxes in the store. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I said, like two together. I mean, I'm not that dense. Because people steal the shoes. So you can't steal the shoe. You only can't, it's kind of hard to walk out with one shoe. So that's where, I was at that same shoe store last year, and there were two shoes in every box. But they have to put one shoe in every box because people steal all the shoes. I'm thinking to myself, you've got to be kidding me. No wonder the mall's going out of business, you know. And you laugh at that, but you know, I did some statistics with regards to stealing. That, where is it on here? 33% of businesses, you know why they go bankrupt? Because of stealing. They lose so much money because people steal from them that they go bankrupt. Recent statistics said this, that 46% of employees steal from the company that they work for. 46%. In the United States, $50 billion a year is lost in stolen property. $50 billion. 59% of men steal, and 40% of women steal. So ladies, you're doing a little bit better on the stealing. Wow. But between managers and workers, 37% of the managers steal and 29% of the workers steal. So the managers are stealing more than the workers. And you wonder why companies go bankrupt. I remember the business that my father-in-law worked for here in, it was in Adams, and he told me how often people would steal chainsaws, chain falls, come-alongs. I said, well, what happens when they catch them? He said, they do absolutely nothing to them. They just reprimand them and say, don't do it again. And it's incredible. But lying and stealing, it's a problem of the heart, amen? Like everything else that we've talked about, it's a problem of the heart. On your hand, I put for you James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin is when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. All sin is really a matter of the heart. And we've seen that as we've looked at these commandments that the Lord has given us. So it's a matter of the heart. It's really interesting, but all throughout the Bible, listen, stealing and dishonesty is nothing new about it. Even the patriarchs, if you remember some of the Old Testament accounts, said Abraham and Sarah, they went down into Egypt and they lied to Pharaoh. Abraham told Pharaoh, no, Sarah's not my wife, she's my sister. Mm-hmm. And then, he was found out. And Jacob, and his name means deceiver. And we, on Sunday nights, Pastor Ethan preached a whole series of messages out of the book of Genesis, and we saw in the life of Jacob the deception that was in his life. And it went on. Jacob's sons, as they lied, they sold their brother into slavery, threw him into the pits, and he ended up in slavery, and lied to their father about what had happened. And it goes on and on and on with regards to that. The first sin in the garden was lying and thievery. The first sin of Israel. We'll talk about this a little bit more later in the message. The first recorded sin of the nation of Israel was when Achan stole the accursed thing from Jericho. The first recorded sin in the church. In Acts chapter 5. Dealt with lying and stealing. And we'll look at that a little bit later on in the message. It's epidemic. Now look on your hand up. What was the basis? Why? And I've often said that not only the Ten Commandments, but all of the Old Testament law, it was the constitution of the nation of Israel. The laws were given as a spiritual application to them. There's a practical application to them. So there's a practical application here and spiritual with regards to the nation and how it was to conduct itself. But why? Why is it wrong for them? Why is it wrong now? Why is it always wrong with regards to stealing and lying? Well, God gave us these boundaries for a number of reasons, and this isn't the totality, but here's just five things that I put on your handout. First, He gave us this boundary for the protection of personal property and for the protection of our own integrity, so that we don't lose our property because it's stolen and because we maintain a position or character of integrity. Or the protection for a person's right to own property. We've heard a lot in the news lately about the Castro brothers and Fidel Castro. He died just not too long ago. But in Cuba, when the revolution took place, the Cuban people, who many of them owned vast sums of, they owned property and houses and land. Well, when Castro took over, he just confiscated all of that. He stole it from them. That's why, I'll just give you this for free, it was a travesty before the last president left office that he restored relationships with Cuba. Just as if none of that ever happened. It was stolen from them. And we could go through other cultures, other times. We could perhaps say there's been some real stains on our American history, that land that was stolen from people and taken from people. People lied to. Protection against false claims and charges. You find that in the Bible. In fact, I was reading in the book of Deuteronomy that the Israelites were told that if there was a charge against them, it had to be by at least two witnesses. It was to protect them, so someone couldn't lie about them. It also promotes labor. It promotes honesty. It promotes integrity. But what was true in the Old Testament, the apostles found and Jesus found in the New Testament as well, that they had to deal with these issues. Look on your hand at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Paul writes to the believers there in Ephesus, and he says to them, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." So it promotes labor, promotes honesty, integrity, being industrious, not only for your own sake, but then as the Lord blesses, you can take some of that and help those who have less. Truly, part and parcel with regards to the local church as well. Or in Colossians 3:9, to the church in Colossae, lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds. In other words, the boundary was there to remind us that before we came to Christ, that maybe lying was a part of our life. Maybe stealing was a part of our life. But now as believers, listen, the Bible commands us, there's a boundary. Stealing is forbidden of the Lord, and lying, it's a sin. Live within those boundaries. God tells us that. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Hosea. That's in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. It's a book that we don't look at that often. But if you're looking to find it, if you get to the book of Daniel, go past the book of Daniel, you'll be in the book of Hosea. If you're not that familiar with your Bible yet, where Hosea is, then use the table of contents. That's why they put it in the Bible. In Hosea's day, in the culture of Israel, they had forgotten the boundaries. And what Hosea wrote was very typical not only of them, but we could say, you could read this today, it would be typical of today's culture. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. Just hold on, I still hear pages being turned, so I'll wait until you get it. So I want you to see it. Let's start again. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. Isn't that sometimes, let's just stop for a minute, look up here. Isn't that sometimes you look out, you listen to the news, doesn't it seem sometimes the land is just mourning of what's taking place in our culture? It just seems like there's a sickness. And no one has, well, we have the answer, but everyone thinks they have the answer. And here, don't forget, now this is happening thousands of years after what we're reading in Hosea, after the Ten Commandments were given. The Israelites had forgotten to live within the boundaries that God had set. And this was the result. Verse 3, therefore the land shall mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for the people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. It was a sad state of affairs. And Hosea has been called. He's been called to come to the people and to tell them, listen, you're living outside the boundaries of God. Repent and start to live back inside the boundaries of God, and God will forgive you. Some things I thought of as I was putting this message together. You know, there's different ways that people can steal. For instance, sometimes when people gossip and people tell lies about other people, they steal the reputation of that person. Many years ago, one of our neighbors had said some things with regards to me and my character and my faithfulness to my wife. And one of the men came to me and told me. And he had been doing it literally as people left the building and walked to their cars. And I had to go confront him about that. And I will say to his credit, he apologized to me. But when we say things about people that aren't true, we steal their reputation. So we need to be very careful. When we go to work and we don't give our employer a full day's work, we steal from them. You and I as believers, we should have the best testimony, the best reputation, whomever we work for. Amen?
Amen.
We really should. If you have a job where they give you an expense account and you pad that expense account with personal things, you're stealing. You're not being paid, by the way, when you turn that in, you're lying. When we abuse sick days, you have a job that allows you sick days, and we abuse those, we're both stealing and we're lying. When we arrive at work late, consistently, and we leave early, we're stealing. Just some things to think about. When we don't pay our bills, most people do that. They get up and move and they leave. They have an electric bill, they have a phone bill, they leave and they just leave it. We're stealing. We steal. You young people that are in school, when you cheat, you steal, and you lie. I remember years ago, when we still had the Christian school, a young lady hadn't done her homework. She said, "Well, my mom, we hit a moose on the way home." Now, there are moose, not as many as there used to be up there where we live. And we've had, and because of the proximity of our house, we've had people who have had accidents. We're the first house on that road. It's kind of a windy road. They knock and they say, and I've seen a car when that car's hit a moose. And I didn't know if she didn't think I was going to ask her mom about that. Let's just say she did not hit a moose. But it's lying. It's stealing. From a spiritual point of view, we can steal God's time that he's given us. And we can steal from God the talents that he's given us. And the treasures. I mean, I'm not preaching on it this morning, but in Malachi, the prophet said, "Will a man rob God?" And they said, "What do you mean rob God?" And he said, "You've robbed God in your tithes and in your offerings." So it's not only we can rob and be unfaithful and lie to one another, but you can also to God. But God's given us the boundary. And if you look on the back of your handout, the breaking of the boundary. Well, what's the source? The source for all sin. I mean, it derives from the heart, but Jesus taught us this in John chapter 8, verse 44. He said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. You remember in the Garden of Eden how Satan lied to Eve? Yay! Have God really said? Oh, God knows that when you eat of the fruit, you shall be just as he is. I mentioned earlier that, take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. The first recorded sin, really, the early church, Acts chapter 5. And I want you to see where Satan plays a part in all of this, and that we need to be aware of that. I've been quoting, I didn't put it on the handle, but I've been quoting John chapter 10 quite often. "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's Satan. Jesus said, "I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly." Listen, Satan is a liar. And he's a thief. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your relationship with Jesus. He's a thief. He's the enemy. But look what happens here in Acts chapter 5. "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession and kept that part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet." So they took this and they sold it and they brought it. They're giving it to the apostles to use. Nothing wrong with that. But Peter said, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." So you get the point here. They sold the possession. They brought it to the apostles. They laid it at the apostles' feet. And they were deceptive. They were trying to... They kept that part of it. Now, apparently, they had said, "Well, we're giving it all to you." No one said they had to give it all to them. No one told them that. This was something that they did. But they were trying, in my mind, they were trying to make themselves kind of look good. And they lied about it. Often when people lie, they lie to try to make themselves look different or look better than really what the situation is, or not to take blame for something that's going on.
Wait, you know one of the things I really love about living in New England? In New England, I find this, because I hear this in other parts of the country, it's not so much. In New England, people generally tell you how it is. It's not as if people in New England don't lie at times. But if you want somebody's opinion in New England, you ask them, there's no sugarcoating it. They tell you straight, this is how we feel. And I think that's good. Now, sometimes silence might be better. But by and large, it's a good thing. But they lied. They lied. But you notice in verse 3 that Satan filled their heart to lie. That's not lying unto God, or unto men, but you've lied unto God. And really, by the way, all sin, it not only is a sin against a person, but remember what David said in the Psalms, against thee only have I sinned. It's a sin against God. Verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all of them that heard these things. I'm sure it did. And could you imagine if every person that lied just dropped dead? And the young men arose, bound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Verse 7, it was about the space of 3 hours that his wife came, and the Bible says, not knowing what was done. And Peter answered her and said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Oh, yes, she said, we did. We sold it for so much. Well, she's lying too. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth, buried her with her husband. Verse 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Whoa. There's a great severity in lying in God's eyes. I think, you know, this whole idea, well, it's just, what do they call it? It was just a white lie. A lie is a lie is a lie. Well, it just twisted the truth a little bit. No. I had a missionary call me many, many years ago. We supported it for quite some time. I believe what had happened was he called me. He was in Uruguay for many years, and he was changing his field. He called me, told me he was changing his field. He was coming home to the States to do some work for a short while. And we continued to support him. He was going to plant a church in Alabama. That's what it was. And I said, we would for a short while. Got off the phone with him. About 10 minutes later, he called me back. He said, Pastor Malachi, I had to call you back because there was something I said that wasn't quite true. And he said, the reason I'm calling you back is because when I was younger, I had a real problem with lying. And God's delivered me from that. And apparently what he told me, for him, it must have felt like he was not being honest and genuine. And he didn't, I heard this many years ago, something like an ounce of poison will destroy a lake of truth. See, that's what can happen in our lives. Once we just allow a little lie or a little steal, it turns into bigger lies and more stealing. That's the nature of sin. Look on your handout. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just wage is his delight. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is vanity. But then let's now turn to the blessing of the boundary. So God's placed this boundary in our lives. Of course, the source of all truth, and the source of all integrity, and the source of all honesty is Jesus Christ himself. Amen?
Amen?
It's Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did you know that in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that it is impossible for God to lie? That's why we can trust his promises. It is not part of the nature or the character or even the ability of God to lie. And so his promises are true. The source is God himself of all truth. What a wonderful blessing that is to know. Listen, The greatest blessing of all is to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
That's the greatest blessing of all. And then, as we know Christ, as we accept Him as our Savior, and our sins are forgiven, we become a child of God because of the free gift of salvation, because of His grace, and because of His mercy. He then gives us the Scriptures. And there is no greater blessing then is to walk within the boundaries of God's Scriptures. That's why God gave the Ten Commandments. Walk within my boundaries, the Lord said. And you'll not have to go through life feeling guilty. Walk within my boundaries, the Lord said. And you'll not have to deal with the shame of thievery and the shame of lying. And you know how lying can be. You tell one lie and it goes upon another lie, and you've got to cover this lie. And then listen, young people, tell the truth. Be honest. Be a person of integrity. Because be sure the Bible says your sin will find you out. It does in the end. You don't have to live your life within the boundaries of God of just being disgraced. You know, I remember some years ago, there were these advertisements that were being placed. They were, I think, by insurance companies. And the advertisement had a picture of someone. And underneath it, it said, so-and-so was sentenced to 10 years for insurance fraud. It was meant to get the people to think about stealing and lying and that there's a penalty for it. But to put it within the boundary, you don't have to deal with any of that, the deception and the consequences. John said in John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The Bible says, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Learn to live within the boundaries, and you don't have to deal with the consequences. It's a wonderful thing. That's why God, and that's God's desire for us. We looked at Wednesday night, I'm finishing up, but we looked on Wednesday night at the Word of God and in Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, many ungodly people, they steal, they lie. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord. Living within the boundaries. And he shall meditate on these things day and night. He shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. And in due season, you bring forth fruit. Wow. Why not live that way? Live within the boundaries. Live within the blessings of God. We finish with the concluding verse. If you notice, the Bible says this, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord. And righteousness from the God of his salvation. Learn to live within the boundary. You're stealing? Stop. You're lying? Stop. Ask for God's grace. Listen, God has given us the ability and the power through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be victorious over all sin. He has. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's the greatest blessing of all. Realizing that you and I, we don't get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. These boundaries have been given to us as believers. If you're trying to live with it, the fact the Bible clearly teaches us that the commandments were given to us to prove to us that we can't keep them all the time. It's not that we shouldn't try to live within them. We ought to, by God's help, by God's grace. But no one can keep all of the law. No one can do everything right. No one. We saw that when we studied adultery. And Jesus said, even if you think about it in your mind, you've committed it. But the source of all blessing, it starts when we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Satan himself wants to steal from you, wants to lie to you that it's just not true, that you can't have your sins forgiven. He wants to lie to you and tell you that you're too great a sinner, that you're too far from God to ever be saved, that God doesn't love you and that God doesn't care for you. That's what Satan does. He's the father of all lies. But I want you to know that it's just that. It's a lie. That whoever you are, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, Jesus loves you. And Jesus went to the cross to die for you. And if you'll put your faith and trust in what he did for you on the cross, your sins will be forgiven. Do you know him this morning? Do you understand because of the truth of God's word? Jesus, remember what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only through Jesus and Jesus alone. He hung on the cross. Your sin and my sin was placed upon him. He paid the penalty. He was buried. He rose from the dead. And if you'll place your faith and trust in him, he'll save you this morning. Without him, you're lost and on your way to a Christless eternity. You're lost and you're on your way to a place called hell. But today you can be saved. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, that's me. I've never received Christ. I've tried to be a good person. I'm not guilty per se of some of the things that you mentioned of this morning, but I understand that I'm not perfect. I understand that I have a sinful nature. And I need to receive Christ." If that's you, would you just slip up your hand and put it down? I won't call you out your name or come to you, but you say, I need to be saved. I've never asked. See, you can't pay for your own sin. Only Christ can. Because he was the only one without sin. He's the perfect sacrificial lamb. Anyone at all, with the upraised hand, you say, "Preacher, I've never received Christ. I need to do that today." And then, Christian, listen, if God has spoken to your heart through this message, spend some time with him in prayer. However, whatever it might be. Father, we ask that you bless now the singing of the invitation. Let it bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.